good, and how Jesus taught his closest followers about true greatness. And last time we looked at what Jesus taught specifically, how he taught, and we saw him gathering his disciples in and teaching them that to truly be great is to be a servant. And to be chiefest of all, he says in Mark chapter 10, is to be slave of all. And so here tonight we're going to look in message 2 about how Jesus implements servanthood. Jesus taught servanthood and he also implemented it. He got the disciples to get involved. So we'll be in Luke chapter 9 today. Luke chapter 9, and you've heard that saying, if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a day. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Well, in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus called his disciples, he committed to make them, not to give them fish, but to make them fishers of men. And so he didn't want them just observing ministry. He wanted them involved in ministry. And so we see him implementing that several times throughout the Gospels, and specifically here in Luke chapter 9. Several months ago, we had an issue with, I guess it's a plumbing issue, where one of our toilets was always draining, always filling and draining, so it wasn't stopping properly. And I didn't want to pay to have a plumber out, so I went to the hardware store and then turned the water off and took things apart and started this, you know, it may be in the early evening, and then since I worked very quickly, was wrapping it up about 1 a.m. And, you know, there's always complications that you don't foresee, and it takes longer, and got everything back together by 1 in the morning, finally, and turned the water back on, and it came out the floor. And so that's the moment, maybe you've been in a similar situation where you think, you know, I probably should have called someone to come and take care of this. I turned it back off and got things put back together. But, you know, sometimes I think that's the approach we have that can even slip into our ministry philosophy, where we are okay with the idea of servanthood, but when it comes to those unpleasant tasks and when it starts to get messy, we'd really rather hire someone else to take care of that for us. And so how that plays out in church is we can almost get this mentality that, you know, the church is the pastor's responsibility, so we're supposed to reach the community, but I hire a pastor to do that for me. And we're supposed to reach the world, but I'll just write a faith promise check and hire the missionaries to do that for me. And I want my kids to be nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, but I'll just hire the youth pastor or the school teachers to train them for me. And we are tempted to outsource some of those spiritual responsibilities and hire someone else to do what God calls us to do. That can be a danger. And so look at Luke chapter 9 and that opening verse, and we see the phrase that was used in Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, and Mark chapter 10, where it says, then he called his 12 disciples together. He calls them in for something very important, and in this case, it's not for a teaching time. It's for the implementation, where he's going to send them out, thrust them out to get involved. You know, they spent a lot of time around Jesus' feet, listening to his teachings and watching him minister, listening to him share the gospel and watching him heal people. Jesus sends them out in Luke 9:1, it says, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them out. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He's thrusting the disciples out to say, enough watching, enough observing, go and serve. And verse 6 says, they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You recall our definition of servanthood. Servanthood is humbly allowing God to use you in meeting the needs of others. That's what the disciples were doing. They went out and were used by God to meet the needs of others. We come down to verse 10. And if you have paragraph headings in your Bible, or maybe you know Luke chapter 10 well, you're familiar with the account of the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to look at how Jesus implements servanthood, even in this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, And the first point to notice is that insufficient means tempt us to redirect others' needs. When we see a need and we feel insufficient to meet that need, we redirect it somewhere else. Let's look at the text in chapter 9 of Luke and verse 10. It says, "And the apostles, when they were returned," okay, so they did all this mission work, they were sent out and they preached the gospel and they healed people. And if you've ever been on a missions trip, you know when you get back from a missions trip, you're spent, tired, exhausted. And so when they had returned, verse 10, they told him all they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place or a desolate place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. So they go off to be alone and to try to rest and recover from this mission work. Verse 11 says, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him." Word caught wind of Jesus' location and people followed him, and the attempt to be alone is not going to pan out. So verse 11 says, "He received them and spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing." Verse 12 says, "And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals or food, for we are here in a desert place." So as the day starts to wear on, and Jesus maybe teaches and heals through supper, and the disciples start to realize there's this huge crowd of people, 5,000 men plus women and children, so a conservative estimate would be maybe 10,000 people, and no food anywhere around. And so with the day starting to wear on, the disciples say, "Jesus, send these people away to get food." And so they notice the need, they're aware, and they're even sensitive to that need. But notice how their insufficient means tempts them to redirect the needs of others. They say, here's the need, we can't meet it, send them away where that need can be met. That's often the human reaction mentality. When our insufficient means are not enough to meet someone's need, we are tempted to redirect that need. Look what Jesus says, verse 13. "But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat." You give them something to eat. Now you have to understand and try to picture this. What Jesus is asking is a physical impossibility. They're there in a desolate place. It was probably likely, at least an hour maybe before they could walk to get somewhere where there would actually be food. We can't even imagine that in 21st century first world America. You know, the fridge is full, the pantry is full, and if none of that sounds good, you can get on the phone and hot food shows up at your doorstep within 30 minutes. Or if none of that sounds good, you can hop in the car and you have 100 restaurant choices within driving distance of your home, and food is never out of reach. But here in the desolate place, it wasn't a Domino's hotspot. There was no Grubhub or Uber Eats out there. There wasn't a vending machine. There was nothing. There weren't even crops to pillage. There was nothing. Physically desolate, an impossibility for there to be any food. But Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And the second half of verse 13, "And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except or unless we should go and buy meat for all this people." One of the other gospels records, I believe it's Andrew, that says, you know, if we went to buy them food, 200 denarii or 200 days' wages would not be enough to meet the needs of this hungry crowd. So they don't have time to go get food. They don't have enough money to get food, and they don't have enough food to meet the need, just 5 loaves and 2 fish that they had borrowed from a young child. And their insufficient means tempted them to redirect others' needs, and yet Jesus says, you feed them. And so the second point is that God wants our insufficient means to play a role in meeting others' needs. Instead of seeing insufficient needs and passing that need along, redirecting it to someone else, God wants our insufficient means to play a role in meeting those needs. He had a plan for those five loaves and those two fish. And it was beyond anything the disciples could comprehend or even think of, probably. But it wasn't an opportunity to cop out and say, I can't do servanthood here because I don't have the means. No, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Verse 14 says, for they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. An amazing miracle where before thousands of people, the compassion of Christ is displayed. The power of Christ is displayed. But notice how he implemented servanthood to get the disciples involved. He used their insufficient means in meeting that need. This is charted out. Let's look at the chart and notice how there are things in the account that the disciples could do. There were things they couldn't do. There were things that Jesus could do. Well, Jesus could do everything. And so notice a trend here. What about acquiring the food? Could Jesus have done that? Yes, but so could the disciples. So Jesus had the disciples do that. What about seating the people? Jesus says, have them sit down in groups of 50. Can you imagine if you and 11 friends are charged with organizing and seating 10,000 hungry people? All right. Myself with a few volunteers can hardly seat and organize a dozen hungry teenagers sometimes. So I can't even imagine a group of 10,000. And remember, the disciples are tired. They're weary from ministry already. And it's going to take some leadership. It's going to take some hard work to get the people seated and organized into groups where the distribution of food will be a little bit easier. What about multiplying the food? Could the disciples do that? No, they couldn't. And so Jesus does. And so Jesus does what the disciples couldn't do, distributing the food. Could Jesus have done that? Well, it would have taken longer. Or maybe he could have done the miracle so the food was automatically distributed, maybe, but that's not typically how God works. God could meet people's needs by fiat creation, but he likes to use us. He likes to use people in meeting those needs. So he had the disciples distribute the food. More hard work that required time and energy. And then how about collecting the leftovers? Who could Jesus collect the leftovers? Well, I suppose he enlists the disciples to do that. You think it's interesting that there are 12 baskets? One for each disciple, maybe, to be involved and fill up a basket. So they are doing something. Their insufficient means are playing significant roles in meeting the needs of this multitude of people. I think when we recognize the insufficient means is not a good enough excuse to get us out of being involved in meeting the needs of others, we'll start to be more aware of situations where we can be a servant. Maybe you've seen this bell before. You see that on a hotel desk or something, and there's a little sign that says, "Ring for service." What if we had that bell in our heads? Where there was an opportunity for service, something would go off in here. This is a chance to use my insufficient means to be used by God to meet the needs of someone else. I was out driving on Thursday night and saw someone. It was dark. I think it was a lady pushing an SUV that apparently had died on the road. And she had pushed it around a corner. But the road she was going onto was a bit of a grade, and I could see she was about to lose that battle. She was already at about 45 degrees trying to push that, and I was looking for a place where maybe I could pull off and help. But then I saw someone pull up behind her, jump out of the driver's seat, and go to help. And it was like, you know, it's an opportunity for ministry, and someone was aware and noticed, and hey, there's hope for humankind. That was encouraging to see that. The day before that, this past Wednesday, a homeless lady wandered in to our church building off the street and didn't have a place to stay. We don't have a place for her to stay. We have insufficient means, and you know, my fleshly temptation would be to redirect others' needs. Really appreciate Pastor Slutz's example, and Pastor Slutz pulled a comfortable chair out for this lady and got her a cup of hot chocolate and got on the phone to try to see about giving her a place to stay. And it was an opportunity for service that some of us would prefer to close our eyes to, but God wants to use us in some way to get our hands dirty, to stoop, to be involved, to serve others. Then I had my own test Thursday morning at 3 a.m. when Levi decided it was time to get up for the day. How many of you enjoy being the first one up and you can kind of, you know, in the quiet, kind of do whatever you want in the house? You like to be the first one up and you like to be awake alone. Okay. Levi doesn't like to be awake alone, so he wants someone else to be up with him. So at 3 a.m., my groggy brain is not very useful, but there was a slight, and I went, oh, you know what? Opportunity for service. Now, full disclosure, the vast majority of the time, my insufficient means to meet his needs make me redirect that problem. But you know, this chart started to build in my head. What is the need? Changing Levi's diaper. Could Sarah meet it? Yes. Could Joel meet it? Yes. Who should meet it? Joel. Could rocking the baby? Could Joel do it? Yes. Could Sarah do it? Yes. Who should do it? Now, most of the time, Sarah's doing it. But I saw, you know what? Even if I have insufficient means, God can use me to play a part and have this servanthood. And if we could hear this bell go off in our minds when there's these opportunities for service, ring for service, we could think about that. You know, there are challenges in our lives that our needs are far too insufficient to meet, and we're aware of them all the time. We're aware of those around the world who are impoverished and starving or dying of curable diseases. We're aware of those even in our own community that are homeless and that are in need. We're aware of people here and around the world that need the gospel. We're aware of needs in our own families where there's tension and there's strife and there's people that are estranged and relationships that are broken. And we recognize that in all those areas, our means are insufficient to meet those needs. We are not capable of getting someone to accept the gospel, but we can still present it. We are not capable of meeting all the needs of the impoverished and the sick and homeless, but we can be involved. We are not capable of changing the heart of a loved one, of reforming a relationship where there's estrangement between a child and a parent, or a husband and a wife, or a brother and a sister, or a friend and a neighbor. But we can play a role. Our insufficient means, God can use toward meeting that need. By our prayers, by our faithful example of love and forgiveness, by our generous giving, we can pool resources. You know, none of us here can support 50 missionaries around the world. We have insufficient means, and that could tempt us to redirect others' needs, but we pool together, and we each contribute our own insufficient means, and God uses us and does the part that we can't to make that need met. And we rejoice to know that across the world, the gospel is being preached, and we have a part in that, even with our insufficient means. You know, some will say that God never gives us more than we can handle. And in a sense, that is true. But there's another sense in which God will often give us more than we can handle, but God will never give us more than he can handle. And the neat thing about this chart is that not only does it show that when we can be involved, God will have us to be involved, it also shows that in those points where we are insufficient, God will take care of that. The disciples couldn't multiply the food, so Jesus did that. And he won't leave us comfortless. He will, when we put forth that effort, God will take care of the things that we can't take care of. Not always in the way that we would wish or plan. But God will use us in servanthood if we will offer our insufficient means. So a challenge for us is, don't just watch and observe. Go and serve. There are needs all around us, and we're tempted to redirect them. Don't just sit back and watch and observe and say, oh, I hope someone meets that need. You could go around the church building and say, oh, I hope someone meets that need. And at your house, I hope someone meets that need. And downtown, I hope someone meets that need. And on your Facebook feed, I hope someone meets that need. Or you could get involved. Instead of watching and observing, let's go and serve. And a third and final point is that when our insufficient means play a role in meeting others' needs, that people see an all-sufficient Savior. When our insufficient means play a role in meeting others' needs, people see an all-sufficient Savior. How did it work here in the feeding of the 5,000 in Luke 9? Jesus multiplies the food, the disciples distribute it, and the people eat. And at the end of the passage there in verse 17, they did eat and were all filled. So the need has been met, and these people are miraculously satisfied. And let's say there are 10,000 people there. How many of those 10,000 do you think finished that meal and were full and said, wow, those disciples are really amazing. They are really something. What powerful, compassionate disciples. They're just really great. I would venture to say that that was not the response of any of the crowd. But instead, the response of the crowd was likely this. Wow, that Jesus of Nazareth, he is amazing. Look at the compassion and the power of this man. This is no ordinary man. This is someone great. And when our insufficient means play a role in meeting others' needs, people see an all-sufficient Savior. It's in our servanthood, in our acts of stooping to lift others, in our acts of humbly serving to meet the needs of others, that people see Christ in us. Jesus said, whoever would be greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. And it's that principle of whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And sometimes we look at that with a slingshot mentality. Like if I humble myself, then I'll be exalted. Or if I become a servant of all, Jesus will make me the greatest. But the truth is that the greatness is in the stooping. It's in the service. It is down here. And so Jesus implements this, gets his disciples involved in service. They had so many arguments about who would be the greatest. Jesus wanted them to see where true greatness was. It wasn't in being famous or rich or wealthy or powerful. It's in serving others. Because it's when we're serving that we are like Christ. And it's when we are serving that we point others to Christ. And that is the greatness that we were created for. When it comes to your Christian walk, you could ask the question, what's in it for you? And what are you in it for? You know, I think we're too easily lulled into a passive, sleepy Christianity where we just ask God to give us a problem-free, comfortable life that we can cruise through until someday claiming our crown. But the reality is that God wants us to be involved in some of this dirty work, to get our hands dirty, even when we're tired, even when we're spent, to be humbly used by him to meet the needs of others. I wonder if sometimes when we pray, we have the same spirit as the disciples who approached Jesus and said, look, there's this need here. The people need food. Send them away so that they can get the food. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Could the disciples give them something to eat? Well, no. Yet, did they? Yes. And that's the paradox that Jesus was trying to teach them. And sometimes we come to him in prayer, maybe, and we're told to cast our cares on the Lord, and we're told to turn our worries over to him. But that doesn't mean that we are free from any responsibility of action. So maybe when we come to God and we make requests and say, God, please meet this need, amen, and walk away, that perhaps he's saying, you meet that need. And you would say, but I have insufficient means. But he wants your insufficient means to play a role in meeting that need. God, please change the heart of my wife. Or God, please change the heart of my husband. And then we walk away and God says, you change their heart. Well, I can't change their heart. I have insufficient means, but I can play a role. I can fill the dishwasher. That might go a long way. I can't, God, please, you know, meet all the needs of our church. Okay, why don't you think about where you need to volunteer or where you need to direct your giving? Oh, Lord, please change the heart of my neighbor or fix my work situation. And God wants you to be involved. And those areas where you can do something, God doesn't want to just do it for us so that we can sit back. He wants us to be involved in servanthood. And in those areas where it's beyond our control, God will lend his power and work through us when we are working for him. Again, not always in the way that we might imagine or plan, but in a way that brings him glory and people see an all-sufficient Savior. So when we serve God with what we can do, he adds his power to what we can't do, and the result is that his power and his compassion are visible and displayed to his glory. True servanthood humbly surrenders one's natural means to be used by God to meet the needs of others in a supernatural way to point them to the Savior. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your power and compassion that is displayed through your Son here in the feeding of the 5,000. And in this familiar account, may we begin to see the fact that there are areas all around us each day where you would have us to be involved in being used by you to humbly meet the needs of others. Lord, help us to commit to take steps toward using our means in a way that you would see fit, in a way that ministers to everyone we come in contact with, that we wouldn't be too proud to serve, but that we would see that that's where true greatness lies. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For an invitation hymn tonight, the hymn Servant's Heart, we sung that before. Would you, as the instruments play, and it's number one in the Wild Song Book, it's not in our hymnals, but the words will be on the screen. As the instruments play that first verse, take this opportunity to talk to God and to ask him to change your heart, to open your eyes to how he wants you to be involved in meeting, using your insufficient means to play a role in meeting the needs in your life and in the lives of those around you. Take a few moments to reflect on how he might have you respond. Would you join me in standing as we sing that first verse?
Make me a servant like you, dear Lord, living for others each day. Humble and meek, helping the weak, loving in all that I say. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Make my life take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Help me draw so close to you. that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart.
Pastor Sleuths.
I want to thank the young people who participated tonight with the music. Thank you so much.